From the PCC Studios in Midland, it's The Catwalk, presented by Performance Chemical. Conversations connecting with industry executives, community leaders, nonprofit organizations, and social entrepreneurs.
Well, welcome to The Catwalk, America's favorite podcast show. I'm your host, Jay Whitlow. Sitting right over there is the great Moose Myers.
Hey, what's going on, Jay?
Not much. Chris is producing, and you boys and girls buckle up for another exciting day of broadcast excellence. We want to start this show by a new segment that we call the Moose Rant. So what do you got, Moose?
The Moose Rant.
Yes.
You know, Jay, I'm kind of glad that you're going to let me rant a little bit because this whole time on this show, I've been just thinking about things that are good and uplifting. You know what? I'm just going to go on a tangent. You know what?
You should.
You know what really rubs my antlers?
Wait, rubs your antlers?
You know what really mean? You know, a big moose has got these big palm branches. It just rubs my antlers. It gets me. It gets in my crawl, Jay.
Well, I know what a crawl is, but I've never heard of rub your antlers.
I'm gonna show some rubbing some antlers, man.
Because okay.
I'm really not happy right now with some things.
And what's up?
And you know, we all travel this time of year, and what really gets in my crawl these days is when you have to pay extra money for at least a suitcase that's 2 or 3 pounds overweight.
Mm.
And then you go up to the counter, which they're, you know, standing these long lines and you're waiting for your turn. You're all these things. You get up there and you've already got all your suitcases put on the scale. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they're like,
your flight's delayed.
Well, not even that, but it's like, your bag is 3 pounds overweight.
I hate that.
And they want you to open that thing up in front of God and all his people and say, I need you to get this down to the minimum of 50 pounds or whatever the scale may be, right? Yeah. I'm like, when's the last time you checked that scale? Is that scale right? Oh, yeah, that's right. So, and I was like, you know what? I don't like I have an extra suitcase or anything. All the other ones are evidently they're gone. And I'm like, but you know what? Even worse than that, Jay, is that the average people that fly, and it's hard. It's a very known fact that 85% of the people that fly that are on the same plane you're flying on, they've packed their bags with 5 to 7 pounds less than the average person. So they're underweight already. And so you would think they'd figure out a way to get that thing right and average and get the plane level and let your bag go through.
You would think
they can do that if they were real smart. They could use some kind of data analytics and say you're on the same flight. They can end the scale. They can enter it in, and guess what, man? You know the weight of that, so everybody don't have to pay for their bag.
That would be amazing. Can you look into that and maybe
I know something? I know a guy that may know something about analytics with data, and I might have to ask him. And
see. We might have to.
Ask
yeah. Him. Well, it's time for top five.
Top five? I love top five, Jay.
Top five is sponsored by Tortuga Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, then Tortuga Real Estate is your answer. They are teaming up with T2Go, the one on Holiday Hill, for National Sea Turtle Day tomorrow from 3 until 6:30 p.m. Now, the catwalk will be there, so stop by and say hi and enjoy some tea. National Sea Turtle Day with Tortuga Real Estate. Are you going to be able to go, or do you want me to go? What's it going to look like?
Man, that's a mouthful, but, you know, Jay, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go solo on this one, buddy, and okay. I know we're going to represent well. That's definitely for a good cause. I actually have to work, and
yeah.
I'm disappointed in
somebody
that,
has
too.
To work.
You mean going to rant about that? We probably don't have enough time.
But, we don't have enough time.
We definitely want to support them, and, you know, saying Sea Turtle and T to go, and that's a lot for one man to say.
It is a lot for one man to say.
But I know you'll represent us well, and I'm pulling for you,
Jay. I will do that. But here's my top five.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Now, when I was younger,
that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. My mom was in a knitting club, and I was the only child, and so one of the things that I learned growing up was how to crochet. So I'm going to give you my top five crochet patterns.
I'm going to hold my thoughts.
Here we go. These are the crochet patterns. You ready?
You are unreal.
I'm totally serious about this. Number five, the single mesh stitch.
I wouldn't even
It's a single
that.
Stitch that goes in and makes a little crossover, and it's what people do for like a toboggan or a sweater, an easy single stitch. on the mesh. Number four.
Have you been practicing for your new toboggan?
Not recently.
With hair?
Not recently. But number four is the puff stitch. It's one that is like a puff. It's like a puff of air. And when you stitch it, it makes like a little cloud or a covering or something.
Cool.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
I was thinking more like if I was to practice that, I would have like the stitch like a puff fish and it'd just go everywhere.
it would just go everywhere.
I'd lose my thread.
Number three of my top five crochet patterns would be the V stitch in brick. Now that's just a terminology. It's not like a brick, but it's a V stitch. So you know what a V is, right? And that's how you would go into the stitch. So you would take the yarn with the needle and you would go up, then you would come down and you make the V shape. And so an Afghan blanket would be made with the V shape. Number two.
If you turned it over, you would have an A shape.
You could have an A shape or an A frame. Number two would be the basic shell stitch. Now, this is what every crochet needlepoint person learns at the very first is this basic stitch, this basic shell stitch. It's just your garden variety crochet. See, you are just laughing at this and you're loving this.
I'm trying to have this.
Can you see me over there at 7 years old learning how to crochet?
I can see you doing this at 80 years old, Jay. I mean, knitting yourself a cardigan because it's going to be cold outside.
You know what one of my birthday gifts that I got when I was little?
A scarf.
My mom.
Pair of socks.
No. Let me get this out. This is from my mom made this for me. This is meaningful to me.
A new needle.
No. She made a hanging pot basket.
Really?
Out of a needle. Seriously. And it would hang in my room. I would kill the plant, obviously, because it was in my room.
Was that in the 60s by chance?
But no, it was in the 70s.
Oh, he said hanging pot basket.
Not that kind of pot. Okay. Number one would be you had the basic, which was just your basic garden variety. Okay. And then you had the really hard one, which is called the treble shell stitch, which is you go through it three times.
Yeah.
It's like a treblay or treble or something of that nature. And so it was a stitch that you would do three times over. So it's very strong, very sturdy. It's the most popular. You see that in just about everything that's ever stitched. But it was something that I remembered from my mom, and she was in a knitting club, and those older ladies would come over because my parents were a lot older than my friend's parents were. In fact, I remember going to Montgomery Ward's one time.
That is a throwback.
And the lady goes, I was shopping with my mom, and she asked how my grandmother was doing. And that flew all over my mom.
I can imagine.
Because they were a lot older. My parents, you know, couldn't have children for a long period of time. And so it was great. And I gave my mom a lot of heck growing up and stuff. So, but she taught me how to crochet.
You know, Jay, I can't even top that because I never.
It's amazing. You look at me differently now, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. And it's really. It's disturbing that I have to think these thoughts about you now. About I may need you to have some Christmas presents for me this year, though, if you don't mind. What's your order forms like?
I don't know, but I may put an order form on the flow line or on the show notes.
I think if you're listening to this show and you're watching this and you're at your same thoughts I'm thinking, let's try him out. Let's see how good he really is with his stitching. Because the only stitch I ever got was from a doctor, and they weren't good stitches.
Yeah, so, and sometimes good. Some of those that I mentioned are some of the stitches that doctors use is kind of the V shape and the shell and the treblay. So
treblay.
So yeah,
is that French?
So there you know. I don't know what it is.
They play with the French.
Those are my top five.
Curious. Jay, I'm amazed. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. And speaking of amazed and impressed, let's check out the guy sitting next to you.
Let's do that. Yeah.
This is our special guest. This is Matt Harrison.
Did you like how I cut you off?
I do like how you cut me off.
Do that again.
This is Matt Harrison.
Matt Harrison.
What's going
right
on
over
guys?
Here?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Matt and I have been friends for over 20 years. So there's a lot of stories he could probably tell you.
Now, you weren't in his knitting club, right?
I was not in his knitting club, but
okay.
The man sitting across from me over here is definitely a very special guy. So he's a mentor of mine, and Jay and I go way back, like you said, a couple decades. And he led a men's group for us over, we met in church over 2 decades ago. So we had a group called Cadence.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Met on
Monday nights.
Monday nights, yeah. Monday nights over at Robbo's house.
And Rob's, that's right.
Had a, this only guy I know that's got a urinal in his garage. Pretty awesome. But,
awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. That's another story,
pretty,
too.
Pretty awesome. But, man, it just, Cadence was amazing. You know, part of my faith walk, and Jay led that for us and a big group of men. It was really awesome. So
it's great.
Appreciate you having me and reaching out.
Tell us a little bit. A lot of our viewers, listeners may not know who you are. Thank you for that story. I'm grateful for that. Grateful for our friendship. But tell us who you are, where you're from, a little bit about your background, your family, your kids.
Yeah, you bet. I'm a West Texas guy, so I actually grew up in Stamford and moved to Lubbock, lived in Lubbock for a few years. I thought I was going to go to Monterey High School, but got transferred over and moved to El Paso. And so ended up growing up and finishing high school in El Paso. My my dad was a traveling salesman out there, had basically the Permian Basin as his sales territory, which is a big area, as we all know. And he covered it out of El Paso, so did a lot of Eastern New Mexico and West Texas trips. But I, from El Paso, went over to Texas A&M, and and
he is not a fan of guns up.
Wreck 'em.
Not a fan.
Okay, we're gonna overlook that.
We can be we can be friends again.
I wish
Jay and I cannot be friends, but Matt, you and I can be friends.
Wreck'em is very cool. I did go to a lot of Texas Tech games. It is kind of tough to say gig'em. I mean, I'm not real sure what that means, but
it's frog.
Texas A&M is a wonderful university, and
it is
an
it
even
is.
Better alumni base to kind of, you know, base out of.
It's so like a cult.
We would just like to actually start in the top five in football and actually end there 1 year. That would be pretty awesome, but that has not been the case.
This might be the year.
Could be the year.
We'll
see. We've been saying that every year since.
All right, let's not get sidetracked on college football.
But yeah, the best thing that happened to me at A&M was meeting my wife, Julie. Mm. So we got connected there at Texas A&M and got married a month after graduating, which frankly is the best thing that could ever happen to me. I married way over my skis, and if I didn't lock that up within the first month after graduating, I probably would have lost her. So her family is a fourth generation ranching family out of West Texas. Wow. And so they live in Crockett County. And so that's been awesome heritage for our family to be part of that.
That's great.
And we got two daughters, a 16-year-old that is currently in, I guess she's going to be a junior at Bernie High. Mm-hmm. And then we have a...
Wait, what?
Bernie.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, I thought I said spell that.
Well, it's not like weekend at Bernie's. It's Bernie, like B-O-E-R-N-E. Bernie.
Borny. Okay. Like Borny.
Well, if you're German, you'd say Born.
Born.
Born. Yeah, that's right. It's the Hill Country area. It's right outside of San Antonio.
Yeah. Bernie.
So we live in Bernie.
Yeah.
First place we've ever moved to based on where we wanted to live. It's the 10th place we've lived in 25 years of marriage.
Wow.
And and then we have an older daughter who's 20, Lana. She's at Texas A&M, so she's a junior up there.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So you said 25 years, all right? You said marriage?
Last year we celebrated 25 years.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's good.
That's definitely a milestone.
Who had the better GPA?
You know,
of who? Wait, we'll clarify. You?
No, not of me. We know who that is.
Because she edged me out. She did. She edged me out.
Okay, but you were mechanical?
I was electrical.
Electrical.
Yes.
And she was?
She had a ag leadership degree.
Leadership. And you had a better GPA or she had?
She edged me on the GPA.
She edged you on that. Yeah. Well, did she ever bring that up?
We both got to do the cum laude. I'm not sure what that means, but that's
good. Moose was thanked the laudie.
Hey.
That's how I was thanked the laudie.
My parents were thanked the laudie. Yeah. And I was like, Lord, no more.
Laudie no more.
Laudie no more.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, tell us, you know, we've been friends, yes, but that's not why you're here. Why are you here in Midland specifically? Are you related to oil and gas? I mean, what is your business?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, about 11 years ago, we started a company called WellAware with the intent to bring technology to the oil field. Not the first time. The oil field has got lots of great technology in it. It's got lots of great people in it. But it is a very spread out industry and very hard to reach places. And so We had some exposure to the oil and gas industry through Julie's family's ranch out in West Texas. And it was always interesting to me, being a technologist and kind of a natural born problem solver, as to why we weren't seeing more technology used. You know, why are so many trucks always out on the road and on the ranches, and, you know, lots of accidents occur and lots of inefficiency in the industry. And so over time, it's been interesting to see technology continue to take a larger and larger role in oil and gas. And so we started the company 11 years ago with the intent to bring technology to our customers in a way that financially and also operationally and even from a safety and sustainability perspective adds value to their bottom line. So that's what we're doing.
Was Well Aware the first name of the company, or?
It was not the first name of the company.
Because it's an unusual name. What does Well Aware mean?
Yeah, so when you're well aware of something, you're informed. You're well aware of that, Jay. Thank you. And so our company really delivers results. We deliver outcomes for our company, so for our customers. And so they are hopefully, they're the Well Aware term acts as a neat pun or a descriptor. But it's the third name of the company. The first name was 24 Wireless, which was very unimpressive.
Yeah.
The next name was Killer Well. I named both of those.
Killer
Well. W-E-L-L.
Killer
Well. Yes, Killer Well. And we had a big old Shamu kind of cresting out of the water with the oil spout.
No, you didn't.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
See, I would have went with Killer Well, but, you know, I'm sure you thought through the EPA shutting you down for that, but.
Or Killer Whale. That would have been even better.
Well, he's got Shamu coming up out of there, so you would think it's not oh well, or it's a well. Look at that well with this oil. So if you were out in the middle of the Gulf or you're out in the ocean and you have a well blowing oil out of his blowhole, that's probably not a good thing.
Probably not.
It's a bad, that's probably a bad choice.
It wasn't super well whales. thought out.
So. Well Aware's good.
Yeah. Well Aware ended up being a great name of the company. It's actually, I didn't name it Well Aware. It was actually our CTO that named it Well Aware. So he did a great job.
So what is your icon though? What is your icon for Well Aware? What's our symbol?
Yeah, our symbol is a dot. And so that dot is, it's got an oil drop in the middle of it. And it's really there to, indicate that we can monitor very remote assets, tell you what's going on, and help you optimize them from the comfort of your own home or office. And that's what we do. We bring monitoring and control capabilities to the fingertips of the operators that build the awesome oil and gas industry that we all benefit from every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of like monitoring from the home front or even remotely, walk me through how it was for you guys. Let's take a step back for just a moment. Let's go back to 2020 during COVID. How did you see your industry for you guys? Did you see an enhancement there or users uptick, or did you see it just kind of stay stagnant?
It's a great question. So most of our business is oil and gas. And we do a lot of different things in oil and gas, primarily on the production side. Upstream and midstream are our primary areas that we serve within oil and gas. But as you know, being in the oil and gas industry in 2020, when oil hit -$37 a barrel,
right,
everything kind of went to sleep for a while. And the industry just flatlined. Since we're a subscription business, our subscriptions remained intact. We played a very pivotal role for our customers, helping them through all the remote nature of the pandemic, the whole nine yards. And we actually did something really cool. When you're a startup company like Well Aware, you always have to innovate. And so one of the areas where we innovated was we took our exact same technology that we use in the oil field and we started putting it inside of air purification units. Okay, that were used in indoor environments to help people feel more comfortable that they're breathing air that at the time was not COVID-19 infected.
There
you go. We had the ability to monitor the filters, monitor the machines, make sure they were running. And people could literally, before they went to a restaurant or a doctor's office or a dentist or a school, if they wanted to check on their kids, they could remotely look at those locations and see, in fact, that the air was being purified and Well Aware was controlling that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Well, okay. Well, let's just get out of that area and let's go back into the chemical. Let's go into the back into the oil industry. What is something that you're seeing in today's market that makes you guys so successful as far as what is it that you do that so well that people want to talk to you or partner with you? What is it that you're doing so well?
Well, there's a lot of things.
Except for being well aware of what's going on.
I saw what you did there.
It's taken 11 years, and so we've learned a lot through hard knocks and scar tissue over the years. But, you know, we have amazing people, Moose, at WellAware. And when you have amazing people, they innovate, they build amazing products. And when they do that, that takes great care of our customers. And when we take great care of our customers, our customers take great care of our shareholders. So we focus on our people first. Our people focus on our customers, and then our customers have helped us really scale and build a wonderful business. WellAware has started and proven itself in a lot of different applications on the oil pad, flow meter monitoring, lac transfer unit monitoring, compressor monitoring. But we really found our niche in chemical optimization. Okay. It was one area that had not been really automated much at all in the oil field. And it's an area where outcomes historically have been very challenging to achieve excellent outcomes. So, you know, lots of failure still as it relates to chemical issues, lots of workovers related to chemical failures. You know, and it's hard. It's hard to throw enough people at that problem, especially in these very remote areas when the industry is also, you know, in a labor shortage,
which
we all know we are. So, I think if I look at where we are today, we've had the opportunity to work with our customers over the last decade to really dial in a product that we believe and are told is a leading product in the market and helps our customers really understand the financial and operational benefits tied to leveraging technology. So that's been really cool to see play out. I think there's some major tailwinds, you know, that are helping us now as well. Labor shortage is one of them because you just don't have enough people. You've got to automate technology. Two, we've developed enough proof points, use cases, case studies, reference customers now that, you know, people, I'd say the oil field is a little hesitant to adopt new technologies and to work with new companies out of the gate. Mm. It's just the risk reward profile doesn't really fit. You know, these are big assets that are running lots of dollars behind them. And so, you know, there's not a tendency to just go try the next thing out there like maybe you would find with Silicon Valley companies and other types of tech companies. So, you know, having the track record we do, and having the results, the fact that labor is hard to come by, and you know the fact that we need to now, as an industry, monitor and report out more in terms of what we're doing. That's been a huge advantage for us. So we're helping customers with their ESG reporting, their sustainability reporting, things that we hadn't historically done before. So it's really working in our favor now.
Yeah. Well, you said something that's pretty interesting, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, you said something about, you know, we're kind of, people are kind of slow to make a change, or they're looking at that, so don't, maybe the ROI that they're looking for or their investment they want to see. Is it, I guess for transparency's reasons, what makes it so good and what makes it so transparent for your people, for your customers and your clients that you see so that they're really enjoying what you're doing with WellAware?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say, I guess this is probably back to my technology roots and maybe my electrical engineering degree, but at the end of the day, you know, data is king.
Yeah.
And data doesn't lie. And so one of the things I think we do really well at WellAware is,
there we again, well, very well,
WellAware.
I love the name.
Working in anywhere again.
Killer whale.
We really focus on capturing the most comprehensive, high quality, high resolution data sets that we possibly can for our customers. And when we do that, we are able to establish trust with our customers, because a lot of times, you know, technology's been used, and somebody that's been out in the oil field and has, you know, been a pumper or gauger on a well forever, they know what that well's doing. And when the technology says it's doing something different, you're done. You know?
Yeah.
But with WellAware, we focus on high quality data.
Yeah.
That builds trust. When we have trust from our customers, they will change their behaviors. They will not get in that truck. They will do some other high value asset rather than hopping in their truck and going and checking on something, putting their eyeballs on it. And when they change their behavior, that's when we begin to quantify return on investment for our customer. Okay. And we do that in the form of you know, carbon footprint, operational savings, the ability to extend an FTE's capability. So with with WellAware, one person can do 2 to 3 times more than what they can do without us. And so we've been able to just over time work with our customers to kind of prove that out. And, you know, that's where we're beginning to really see some adoption in the market.
Well, no, that's very interesting. And I'm glad you shared that. I was always, as a question I always wonder, because when we go into meetings or you go into finance meetings and you sit down and you're looking at things and you're looking at how can it be effective? And as far as, like I said, your carbon footprint. But there's something that I would like to know, how, without even saying like a customer's name or anything, like on average, what do you see as far as cost savings? Let's say hypothetically for like one chemical injection point for a month, a continuous injection. Let's make it out there where it's at least something we know that's a solid thing, that it's a needed. What do you see as far as savings wise that's happening for your clientele?
Yeah. Good question. So I say we boil it down to as simple as this, and we serve both service providers and operators today. I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to do that. For every dollar that our customers spend with WellAware, I'm very confident saying we return at least $2.50, $3 for every dollar spent.
Wow.
So you give me a dollar, I'll give you $3 back right now. That's basically the way the WellAware system works. We can prove that. We stand behind that. We'll guarantee that. How do you get to those numbers? Well, for service providers, it's really in the form of optimized deliveries, understanding what they have in the field from an inventory perspective, supply chain optimization, labor resource optimization, and injection management. So one of the big issues in the field today is service providers end up not selling as much chemistry to their operators as the operators would like to buy. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but primarily because pumps don't always do what they're supposed to do, or power isn't always available, or you just simply run out of chemistry, which actually happens more times than you'd think.
Right.
On the operator side, operators see that benefit in the form of reduced failures that are due to chemical issues, reduced expensive artificial lift equipment going down like ESPs, rod lifts, et cetera, and reduced work overtime to fix those, and no lost production tied to those failure events. And so when you run the numbers, they're pretty straightforward to look at. We see about a 3X plus. We've seen scenarios where there's 5, 10X. Sometimes when you get to like a saltwater disposal facility, we have the ability to really save a lot of money for operators if they want to inject in real time tied to water management and things like that. And so that's another application that we see.
Sure. And then, you know, just maybe one more question. I'm just thinking outside trying to make sure I understand this. And I know that you've got a lot of systems and you're looking at a lot of different data points. On average, how many data points can you actually look at one time when you're looking at your system? Like, give me an example of some data points that are I can get it, man. Engineering is crazy. And you said it earlier, data is king. And sometimes the numbers don't lie and it tells a great story. But if I were to want to dive into something like way down in the weeds, what's your capabilities on your platforms?
Yeah. So I would start with the statement that I've learned it's complex to make things simple. And so what that means is we have lots of different users on our platform. We have field operators, we have regional managers, we have corrosion engineers, we have operational managers, we have people that are responsible for U.S. operations. They all want to see a different set of data at the end of the day. A field technician wants to wake up, look at WellAware, and know exactly where they need to go for that day and where they don't need to go, more importantly. An operations manager that's responsible for the U.S. might want to know how they're doing for, on their supply chain optimization, how they're doing on their injection variants across all their sites. Those are very different views that we have, worked to, create a data analytics page for each user. And that's all possible because of the very rich data set, like you're asking about, that we capture for our customers. So I'd say we probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 75, what we call primary data points. And those are just sensor data, information like tank levels, pump information, power information, user collected information. We collect a lot of information from our users. And then we have derived or secondary equation. So we take that primary information, we do some kind of algorithm on it or math attached to it, and we have derived data sets. So we can tell you, we can give you a recommendation on where you should go for the day and why, so that when you roll up onto that site, you have the right tools to fix the pump, because we told you the pump was broken, or the pump was failing, or the power was failing, or you have a stuck air valve or check valve, whatever the case may be. We can see all those things through data, which is really cool. And so, yeah, but between the primary data, the secondary data, the user data we collect, we have a data foundation that our customer, we provide our customers that they can build on really for the future. And that's where the future is. It's all about analytics. It's all about recommendations, exception-based management. You hear the term machine learning and AI all the time. Maybe we'll really start to see that down the road. It's getting a little crazy, a little fast.
It is.
Hopefully, hopefully for the greater good, right?
Exactly.
Not for the bad.
That's right. But you've got to have a great set of data, because no algorithm can take bad data in and spit out a good answer.
Right.
So you put bad data in, you're going to get bad data out. So WellAware is a data foundation that our customers can count on, you know, for the future.
That's awesome. I know you said some really great, nice things about me earlier.
Take them all back.
Appreciate that. Yeah. And I too have seen, and we've talked about this, I've seen you grow from when I knew you and you didn't have kids, and now you have kids and they're in college and stuff. And your faith journey has taken you through a lot of, I'm assuming, ups and downs. How does your faith play into your leadership role running WellAware? And what is your leadership style? Do they match up to each other? Does your faith play into the leadership?
Well, that's a great question. I sure hope it does, Jay. There's a lot of things I've done wrong along the path, but I am thankful to have faith as kind of my primary center point in my life. And I just go back to the two things that I think of, in terms of the greatest commandments, which are just simply love God and love others. I am very thankful to be defined not by the work of my hands, because WellAware has been really hard. There's been lots of failures. There's been some successes, but there are lonely times in that journey where, if you're just looking at, hey man, I'm only measured by what I do or by how my company's doing, that's a pretty desperate place to be. So thankfully, my identity is not in the work of my hands. It's in Christ, and that's powerful for me and very freeing. And then love others. I love all the people we get to work with, our team members, our customers, our partners in the marketplace, our shareholders have been so faithful for us along the way. And, that's just been huge for us to help, kind of build a company and move along. Yeah, it's so easy for me in particular in today's times to get, kind of judgmental, bent out of shape. And so that one's a tall bar for me just to kind of hold myself accountable on, hey, everyone's created in God's image, man. You got to love them first.
That's right.
And ultimately share the good news of Jesus with them. And so, those are kind of the two things I try to hold myself accountable to. And, there's so many biblical principles that can be, translated into the workplace. Probably one of the most famous ones being the golden rule of, treat others the way you want to be treated. That's actually a proverb. So,
yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now to feed yourself, to become a better leader each day. Are you reading? Are you listening to someone? Who's speaking into your life?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I try to surround myself with people who are ahead of me in the journey, from a faith perspective, from an experience perspective. I'm a member of something called C12, so I'm part of a CEO organization, Christian CEO. So I've got a board of groups. It's kind of like YPO or EO that meet, and we hold each other accountable. And man, I learned so much from those guys, and it's that part's been really an iron sharpening iron.
That's great.
Event. And the other one that I'm kind of a life hack that I've implemented over the last couple years, that frankly is one of the Ten Commandments that I kind of just, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't murder. Treat the Sabbath day as holy. Mm. I'm like, I don't need that. I got to work hard, man. I work 7 days a week. I crank, you know. And finally, God was like, dude, Like, that's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Like, slow it down. Yeah. And man, I have been truly...
Pull the brakes.
Keeping the Sabbath, you know, for the last about year and a half. It is the awesome... It's the greatest. I take big naps, put my phone away.
Big naps, yeah.
I go to church. It's, you know, I spend such good quality time with the family. It is a...
That's huge.
God gave that for, you know, to us for a reason.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to reset. Yeah. And, yeah, that's one of my life hacks that I've really benefited from over the last year.
That's probably something that we all could really take hold of, because we get in our routines, we get going, we crank out whatever it is we're doing, and we forget that. And so I appreciate that.
You know,
just in this conversation, that's encouraging to me.
Totally encouraging. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. We always need that reset. And naps. I can so do naps, but I don't really
I used to not
I don't like take naps very well. It's uncomfortable, but I really want to.
That. Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. But for my family, because when I go to sleep, I snore like crazy.
Well, yeah, I bet you do.
Let me add on to that.
You know what? And I've gone on mission trips with you, and we've stayed in the same room, so I can concur with the way you sleep, snore, do stuff, which is totally for another show. But
is that why you brought your own earplugs?
That may be why I did that. One question that I want to know, this could be just a sentence or two. What do you want Well Aware to be known for? What's that one thing?
Yeah, so our mission as a company is we exist to connect people to the things that matter. So you can imagine in the oil field, that's, you know, all kinds of critical infrastructure that we want to keep running, keep optimized, help our customers make a lot more money. But for me, I take that a little bit further. You know, we exist to connect people to the thing that matters, which is ultimately Jesus. So that's kind of how I have the faith component of it for myself built in. And, you know, how do you get that done? You can just treat people really well. Love on them. So
stay in the Word.
I would love for Well Aware to be known as just a high integrity, innovative company that took great care of the people that they worked with.
That's awesome.
Well, I can tell you that I'm very excited that we're here with you, Matt, and I'm excited for Well Aware and what the things you are doing and what you're doing for Performance Chemical as well. We're definitely interested and glad to be a part of you guys. We're going to take it to heightened levels, but you know, it's kind of like what you said about, you know, connecting people. That's what we're here for as well on the catwalk. Mm-hmm. We're connecting people, and you know what? That's great. We lean on people. Like you said, iron sharpens iron, and we need that in our community. So you know what? I appreciate that statement.
You bet.
A couple of fun questions. We got a little bit of time here.
You bet.
Okay. This or that, would you rather load the dishwasher or unload the dishwasher, Moose? And
man,
the wives are watching.
And listening. That's even worse.
And taking notes.
Oh, if I can speak in sign.
Do you know what a dishwasher is?
Yes, I do.
Do you have one?
I do. Her name is Crystal. No, sorry. No, sorry.
Big trouble.
I'm in so trouble.
Yeah.
Babe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
That's a line of a song, isn't it?
I am in so much trouble right now because it came out wrong. I would rather load the dishwasher than unload it. Yes.
Okay.
Matt? I'm an unloader. I have this really freaky thing where I like to just grab that silverware deal, pull it out of there, and just walk over the silverware drawer and just crank it in there as fast. I don't know. It's
fun. Just kind of throw them in there like I'm, you know, like in a music video or something, you know, kind of.
We absolutely just eat with paper and throw away stuff.
You should.
We
want to do nothing. You should. Okay, for $1 million, I'm going to give you $1 million right now. You have to choose one of these two. You must eat a bag of candy corn every day for the rest of your life. Or eat an onion every day for the rest of your life. You get $1 million. Which one do you do?
Do I get $1 million every day?
No, you get $1 million
one time.
If you get $1 million one time, but you have to eat, and if you don't, then you have to get the $1 million back. But you have to eat either a bag of candy corn every day or an onion every day. Which do you do, Matt? Let's go with you first.
Yeah, I mean, look,
Moose got to think about this.
I love onions, so that's an easy one for me. I can just eat it like an apple, no problem. Yeah.
No problem. What's your favorite brand of onions?
Brand?
Yeah, they got names.
I should probably say the 1031.
Like a Nike?
Is that what it's called? The one that was invented at A&M, Texas A&M?
Probably is.
It's a sweet
like onion. Like the Vidalia onion.
Yeah. It's not called a brand of onion.
Yeah, there are.
It's a type.
There's brand red, yellow, white. But there's a 1031, I think.
Brand is Nike, Adidas, that's brands. Kellogg. There's not... Okay, we could fight over this.
Yeah,
I go with Nature's Brand.
There you go.
That's a good choice.
The one that doesn't make you cry when you cut it. Is there one of those?
There is.
Yes.
It's a sweet onion, I'm telling you.
The sweet onion doesn't make you cry?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got?
And you're asking me that, can we eat them together?
No, you eat them both. Either one.
Oh, can you mix anything with them?
No.
So it's you. Is it all you can eat?
Trying to change the game.
Man, you
just answer the question.
Oh. I don't.
Does the candy corn have to be?
Yeah.
Molasses.
Is it?
That's Elf.
Is it the red, white, and brown candy corn? Is it the yellow and orange?
I'm gonna have a 14-ounce bag or a 7-ounce bag. I don't know.
A bag. So you didn't say how many ounces. So I'm gonna go with the candy corn because I couldn't do onions every day. So.
There's no way I could do an onion, especially like an apple.
Mm.
I just imagine biting. I can't do it. Would you spend 1 hour a week in a walk-in freezer or 2 hours in a sauna, Moose?
Yes, I'm going to go with...
Yes. That's the answer.
I'm going to go with sauna because I really cannot... I can't stand frigid cold. And if I had to be in a freezer, it's going to be frigid cold. And I'm not going to go in there.
Matt?
I'm going to go with the freezer. And as long as I can layer up, wear some...
Yeah, we didn't say that you couldn't layer
up. I'm going to add that in as an asterisk. I'm going to bring some...
Yeah.
You know, some ski equipment, and I'm going to stand in there. I can do that. You know, I do that skiing every year. So, yeah, no problem.
And so awesome. You're unlayered in the sauna. So, hey,
cool down.
Polar opposites, right?
Yeah, what do you do there? Shedding off like an onion?
Yeah, you'll be shedding some stuff all right.
Hey, Matt, can you stay around another minute or two?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
And now, Every Neighbor presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, today is the 15th of June, or as some people say, June the 15th. It's the 166th day of the year, 2023. There's a couple of birthdays on this day. One is Jim Belushi. Do you know anything about Jim Belushi? He's a son of...
John Belushi.
John Belushi. He was on Saturday Night Live.
I don't know much about
him. He's probably not as famous as his dad.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Courtney Cox has a birthday today. You know anything about Courtney Cox?
Yeah. I do know Courtney. I don't know Courtney Cox, but I did watch I watched her TV series growing up, and I actually still watch it.
Growing up?
Yeah. I haven't grown up all the way yet. I'm still growing up and out.
So. What's the name of her show? Her series?
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah. Friends.
There it is.
I was like, oh my gosh, I had a...
What was her name in the show?
Monica.
Monica.
Oh, that's right.
Chandler.
What's your favorite Friends episode?
The one with Pivot.
Pivot.
When they're moving the sofa. Well, don't look at me like that. Moving the sofa up the stairs and they have to pivot.
Pivot.
You know, pivot. I'll give that one to you, man.
You should.
I'm glad you didn't ask me that question because I'm like, all of them. They're all good.
They're all good.
I can't pick one.
Yeah. The one they're all together.
Well, this one, I need some explanation on this. This is not my genre, but today, Ice Cube.
It would be great because it's hot.
It's a birthday.
Oh, not that.
No, Ice Cube. The rapper Ice Cube, not do we have an Ice Cube.
Oh, hang on.
There you go.
That kind of stuff.
There you go.
I like that.
Okay, so... Does anybody know an Ice Cube song or anything?
Oh, yeah.
What you got?
It's
a family show.
Pop, pop, fizz, fizz.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a rapper. I'm an unrapper, but I don't know any rap.
Yeah, you can't rap.
Oh, my
God. Ice Cube's a legend. He's in the rapping Hall of Fame.
What you got?
He is. Yeah. I love some Ice Cube growing up in El Paso. So, let's see. He's a Boys in the Hood, straight out of Compton, NWA guy.
Do you know a song?
One of his songs that I know a lot.
Can you rap it?
Wait, let me hang on.
Yeah. Set him up. All right, here we go.
Come on, man.
Let's hear it.
I think the
here we go.
Easiest one would be an NWA song, right?
So okay,
we'd have to go to commercial break pretty quick. Cruising down the street in my 6-foot. That's about all I can.
That's say. It.
Did you have a 6-foot in El Paso?
6-foot in El Paso.
I did not. But man, I love that. It's Ice Cube is a legend for sure.
All right, yeah. I don't spend a whole lot of time.
He actually had he did Ride Along as well with Kevin Hart. I remember that.
Ride Along. Yeah, he's an actor.
Don't confuse him with Ice-T though.
Yeah, it would be not good.
But Boys in the Hood movie was a very good movie.
True.
Yeah.
Hard to watch, but good.
True. Yeah. Well, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but
you've already have.
On this day in 1976, there was a rainout game inside the Astrodome in Houston. Explain.
I'm gonna pass the question. Matt, you explain.
I have no idea how that could happen.
How can you have that?
How can you have what? A pass?
You just, no, you just, how can you, do, you have you just, a rain
you,
out?
You defer.
How can you have a rain out in a dome?
That must have been a great fire outside. Sprinklers must have came on, and it must have came on. They've had to have.
Something.
I don't know.
I've never heard they had that before.
Maybe the seal was not all the way over
maybe
the dome.
It wasn't really a dome. Yeah,
maybe it wasn't a dome.
Well, and it was AstroTurf, so they weren't watering.
But it rained the whole thing out.
Like, it was
flood the field to just rain out.
Well, when baseball cancels a game for a rainout, it's considered a rainout, right?
Oh,
and so this was the only rainout ever recorded inside the Astrodome. That's where the Astros play. Now, they were horrible. Maybe the rain was going to beat them. And so they had to.
I'm even thinking maybe the question is.
It's weird.
It's contorted, but it's weird.
Contorted?
Yeah, maybe they didn't.
That's a wonderful word you just used.
I just learned that last week in Scrabble. Anyway, I can't spell it.
No, you can't.
But however, maybe they were rained out getting to the stadium. Maybe they actually weren't playing.
I don't know.
That could be it.
Could have been a tropical storm, depression, hurricane.
It is in Houston, so it could have been in the area. But
you never know.
Yeah. It just sounds weird when it says a rain out in the Astrodome.
Yeah, that's weird.
So,
yeah.
Hey, today is National Tapas Day. Did I say that right?
Tapas.
No, I think.
Tapas.
No, listen. What is it, Matt?
Tapas.
He's from El Paso. He knows, bro.
Tapas.
No. Yeah. You tapas your mouth closed. Yeah. Yeah.
You would love that. I would love National tapas. So do we know what those are? Do you have a clue? Because I had to look it up. Do you know what tapas are?
Are you going to spring this on me? You're asking me a question?
Yes.
Can I answer?
Yes.
If I don't know it, can I just tell you anyway?
Yes. No, okay, you can defer good. To Matt.
No, I'm not going to defer to Matt. So yeah. I'm going to guess. And no, I'm not going to guess. I actually know. Tapas is absolutely, it's not an appetizer.
Right.
It is something that is shared amongst friends for long conversations, usually at lounges or bars that they were served these tapas, small mm-hmm. plates for sharing. And it gives you an example of their cuisine, what they're serving.
Sure.
And it gives you kind of an idea. And it's not an appetizer. It's actually right. Tapas.
Well, when I saw that it was National Tapas Day,
I like your Spanish.
Yeah, you like that. Yeah. I'm getting there. I had to ask. I had to look and say, does anybody serve those here? And there actually is. And we have some. So why don't you get those out and let me just read a little bit. And then
sounds good.
You've been there, and I want to hear your take on this.
I've been to Tapas?
No, you've been to Hoop and Barrel.
Oh, so I played basketball there once.
National Tapas Day is sponsored by our friends at Hoop and Barrel here in Midland. Ashton and Ryan, husband and wife, established Hoop and Barrel in 2022 as a cozy take on a mix between a traditional and eccentric bar. I can't read. From delicious small bites to the carefully curated list of drinks, the Hoop and Barrel staff have created a unique experience for all guests. Stop by today and enjoy a variety of tapas and cocktails to help us celebrate National Tapas Day. You're always welcome at Hoop and Barrel. So you've been there. Tell us a little bit. Do you know the story of how they came to be?
You know, I have been there, and I think it's a pretty interesting story. And it kind of goes right back to what I was asking earlier, kind of about the 2020 with kind of COVID. Mm. So they kind of started off as kind of a joke, and it's a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they're a joke, the husband and wife, but it was a joke to them saying, you know, they wanted to figure out a way to go out into the community and bring some joy to people. So they actually formed this. I don't want to mess it up, but let me go to this for sure.
Yeah.
It's actually called Hops and Bubbles, and they have a mobile tavern, which is, it's pretty awesome.
That's
pretty
crazy.
Cool. Yep. Yeah. So you can have this tavern come to your event, come to your home, come to your function. You can rent this thing out. And so they started it as kind of a joke, and it grew.
That's great.
You know, people were so through and so over with 2020, and they didn't really care what they did. They did something. They wanted out of their homes. Sure. If that's all they had to do is make it for a tavern to show up, well, you know what? Let's have at it. But they kind of started that as a joke, and now they moved into their place off of Wadley,
mm-hmm. And right there by Murray's.
Yeah, by Murray's. Yeah. And I tell you what's so crazy. They're eccentric. I can tell you that they have so many offerings up there. The tapas are great. Mm-hmm. Their drinks are really good. And I can tell you this much: it was the atmosphere is good. It's great, good for long conversations and great tapas.
Awesome.
But if you want to go check it out and you're needing to get a tattoo, you can eat. Probably get a tattoo first. And then you might have something to celebrate and get your little drink after the fact.
That's awesome.
But that is crazy. But anyway, check them out, and they're absolutely done.
Well, they've provided some food for us. So before we eat this,
which is absolutely, I've kind of peeked in these.
Yeah, it's good.
Smell.
Yeah. So let me tell you what's in these.
Wonderful.
So we have guaca rolls.
Oh.
We have Mexican cigars, which is an egg roll skin. That's wrapped with beans and chorizo.
Smells great.
We have the haboob dust curds.
Who's boob?
Haboob.
Oh, haboobs.
Haboob.
Oh, haboobs.
They're white cheese curds, beer battered from Tall City Brewery. And then we have little Bow Wows. They're a marinated short ribs from Midland Meat Co. With chopped vegetables wrapped in a bun. And this is going to be great. We're going to enjoy this.
Was little Bow Wow a rapper too?
Probably.
I think he was.
Yeah, he could have been.
Wait, let me see.
Yeah,
I think I remember.
Are you any last minute words before we have our tapas?
No, I don't have any last minute words, but just encouraging words. Matt, thank you for being here, and thank you for your time. The community of Midland is great. Shout out once again, Hoop and Barrel. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I cannot wait to indulge in these fine tapas. And we're here for the community, and we're doing great things. So,
yep. Matt, it's always good to see you. 20 years now, great friendship. Can't wait for the next 20. Appreciate you being here. So let's eat, boys. Thanks as we always me. Say,
yep.
Don't be sad it's over. Just be glad it happened. We will see you guys next week.
I'm just glad the tapas are here.
Let's eat, boys.
Awesome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. To connect with the guys or subscribe to the weekly Flowline, send us an email at media@perf-chem.com. Every Neighbor is the bridge to supporting community engagement between business and nonprofits. Every Neighbor is here to simplify the pathways to connection in our community. Connect with us at everyneighbor.com.